Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific, terrific Tuesday. Well, it is always a pleasure to bring back into Press Row. We always bring him back after he's played a round of golf. Legend, Rick Honeycutt, former Dodgers pitching coach. Rick, how are you today? Beautiful day to play.
Unbelievable day. Got to play with a bunch of low handicap, you know, guys that don't tell you what their handicap is, and just had to, you know, win some money out of them.
All right, let's start. I want this first question to be kind of catch up, because when we last had you on, there was all this uncertainty with the coronavirus, and you weren't sure what the Dodgers' plan for you was going to be, given your age and what the situation was going to be. Were you able to go out to Los Angeles some this summer for the 60-game regular season, or what was this season like for you?
No, there was a lot of restrictions on after Major League Baseball set up for every team when they started the second spring training and then the start of the season. Staff was limited even for the extra guys. And so they just said, you know, stay home. We'll set up your computer. We'll send you video. And, of course, I've got the DirecTV to watch every one of our major league games, and so watch the videos of our young guys at the alternate site, and just talk to the pitching coaches and the pitching coordinator. And so I never had to leave Chattanooga. It was a beautiful thing.
And so I imagine once you get the hang of that, it kind of within a week or two into the year, everything was kind of routine, right?
Well, you know, truthfully, at that time, I didn't want to travel. I didn't want to go out there. If you went out there, you had to stay. That nobody whoever came could not leave after they got there, unless they, so the bubble was in effect, really starting as soon as the second spring training started. So for me, it was really a no brainer. I didn't want to travel. I didn't want to have to stay out there the entire summer, and so this worked out extremely well to just be able to watch the video and give some insight, what I thought on some of the young guys, and then stayed in contact with Dave and Mark Pryor. And we talked about, as the guys went through the season, some things that I might have seen that just to talk about. So it was kind of a crazy year to, you know, talk about, but it was pretty low key for me.
We just got through, obviously, a National League Championship Series that no one's going to forget anytime soon, especially around here. It's one of these things where, Rick, it just seemed like the Dodgers have been the established team at the top of the NL. The Braves have, as we all know, got a lot of young talent working their way up. I know the Dodgers were favored in this series, but, boy, by the end of that thing, it seems like if they were to play again tomorrow, we'd be looking at another seven-game series. Those two teams just seemed really even.
Well, you got to hand it to the Braves. They're, you know, with all the injuries that they had with their pitching staff, that their young guys definitely stepped up. And, Max Fried was awesome these last couple years, but this year you saw him go to a different level. And then Anderson coming up out of it. Obviously, Wilson threw an unbelievable game that nobody could have expected. And I think the other guy, Anderson, I guess his name was, just extremely good. So a lot of positives for them going forward. But, you know, they made it go to the end. I mean, it was they played their hearts out. Both teams happy for us, but at the same time, it going seven games, it just showed how close, and the experience that they gained from that situation is going to make them better in the years to come.
Which of the Dodger arms were you really thrilled to see perform the way they performed in this series?
Well, obviously, in this series, I mean, Walker Buehler continues to be, you know, a man on a mission, that when you give him the ball in any given game, just continues to step up. Been battling the blister issue and getting still probably not 100% to where you could just say you're out there for 110 or 15 pitches, but you got to continue to monitor that. But he pitched awesome in game two and then in game six. And Urias, though, was the young man that the potential is just unlimited also, that he really stepped up and then was happy for the pen. I mean, training after losing game one, you know, I think pretty much came in and shut the door the rest of the way, Gratterwall. And then Kenley, you know, a lot of questions and issues going on with Kenley, and he was a guy that I'm extremely proud of to, you know, come back in game five and six to pitch the way he did. Is a big lift going into the World Series for the Dodgers, for Dave to have faith in him and him to get his confidence back for sure.
And obviously it was a unique NLCS for Clayton Kershaw. He got scratched and bumped back a couple of days. I guess it was, what, game four that he started? And of course, now he takes right. The ball for the opener tonight. I mean, you have always been with him. I guess this was his first year. He didn't have you as a pitching coach. What are your emotions going to be like tonight when he takes the mound, do you think?
No, I'm just, you know, pulling for our guys, pulling for him. I mean, there's been, you know, so much I don't want to say controversy, but everybody wants to say, you know, he's falters in the postseason, but, you know, pitched a great game in Milwaukee, kept winning the game. People don't realize, I mean, I've had back issues, and not, you know, to try to play at that level and have back issues, you just never know what you're able to do. But didn't pitch terrible in game four, but just, you know, the Braves really shut him down, and I'm hoping that for him that he can have an excellent game and stop some of the critics, you know, continually talking about. I mean, they got to bring it up, I get it, but, you know, he's still the man. He puts us in a position and makes everybody around him better. So he's a great young man and super teammate and great player. Really hoping that he can get a ring and he also have a great series.
You're listening to Rick Honeycutt, former Los Angeles Dodgers pitching coach. You're listening to Rick here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Rick, did you ever try to get Clayton to cut that mullet?
Well, you see most of the guys. I mean, this year with the with them being in the bubble and having, I don't think too many guys after they got started even had haircuts and they're like years ago. And he pretty much, so after the season starts, you see him come into spring training every year with a regular haircut, unshaven, and he just lets it go during the season and doesn't cut the beard. Maybe he shaves around it a little bit and just lets the hair flow. So, we got a couple guys that look a little rough on the edges out there for sure.
I'm curious. Are you more nervous watching at home than you would be in the dugout? Because you don't have any input. If you're just sitting there, I mean, are you a bad guy to watch a baseball game? Are you fidgety? I mean, how are you watching a game through the TV, especially one of this magnitude?
Well, I mean, game seven was definitely, but each game was a, you know, do or die game after they got down 3-1. So, for sure, watching the games and then game seven, geez, what an intense game seven was to get down and tie it up and then get behind and tie it up and then go ahead. So it was definitely a tough game to sit there in your chair. I mean, I kind of look at it, you know, I know the Braves well enough. Most of those hitters, you know, where their weaknesses is and where the zone, you know, I kind of maybe just look at it and say, man, he can't throw that pitch right there to that guy. He can't throw, Freddie down and in. It's going to go end up in the seats. And anyway, but there's not much you can do. You just sit there like any fan and hope for your team to do the best. And, but yeah, I couldn't hardly set my seat the last six outs of game seven.
Are you superstitious? Do you sit in the same spot? Do you have a good luck charm? I mean, I'm just kind of curious.
No, I as a player, you have all those superstitions, but when you get coaching and things like that, I mean, your role is to be, you know, calm and be collected and try to, when you're in the dugout, at least you feel like you can talk and make some adjustments if need be, or go out there and settle them down. But you know, when you're here in Ringo, Georgia, watching the game and on TV, there's not much you can do other than just pulling every throw, every pitch, every inning, every out. When they turned that double play, though, I tell you, when Turner, they hit that ball and Swanson went, and then they got turned Raleigh out at third. I did jump out of my chair on that one. I was like, whoa, that was a huge momentum changer right there for the Dodgers, and for them to, you know, then hang on and win. That was a huge mistake by the Braves right there.
All right, you said as a player, players are superstitious. What was the craziest superstition you ever came across during your 20-year big league career as a player?
Oh, these guys, I mean, they all have different things, each one of them. I mean, you're seeing them wear underwear that has holes in it that they've wore for years, or a certain jock strap that's falling apart at the seams. And saw, like, Freeman wearing the same T-shirt that Chipper Jones that had his number on or something that, you know, is falling to threads. You know, you hear them and they say, I didn't have – they got to eat a certain food the same day. I mean, it's wild, you know, when you hear guys over the year where they sit, you know, what they do going up, you know, the number of times they remember, like, Mike Hargrove, I mean, how many times he unstrapped his gloves before he hit every swing.
Right.
And you see guys, they just got to step out, what they touch on their body. I mean, it's unbelievable how everybody gets into a certain routine that they end up doing every day, every game, every time.
You mentioned guys eating certain foods. I guess the most famous of that is Wade Boggs always eating chicken. Did he really drink 100 beers on a flight from Boston to L.A.?
I wasn't with him, so I wouldn't put it past him. But I don't know. The closest I can come is when Jim McMahon came and played at my golf tournament down here, and he told the cart girl, if you leave our foursome, he said, if you do, you got to be back within – By the time I drink the next two beers, you got to be back here. So, I don't. He was playing barefooted out here, and I think his goal was to drink two beers a hole. So, for Wade, that must have been a cross country trip. That's a to drink that many, even come close to that many beers, had to be a long flight.
You're listening to Rick Honeycutt, the former Dodgers pitcher here on pitching coach here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Rick, I'm curious with the Dodgers makeup and dynamic. I mean, obviously Clayton Kershaw carries a ton of weight in that clubhouse. If you had to pick like the two or three clubhouse leaders of that team, who would they be, and how has Mookie fit in with that?
Well, Mookie stepped right in spring training. Obviously, I got to go to the first spring training and the normal time during February and March before we had to shut it down. And Mookie stepped in there the first day and talked to the team, and I think he wanted to clear the air because obviously there was questions about what Boston did in 18 against us, and they had, you know, been penalized some by Major League Baseball. I think he stood right up and cleared the air, but kind of in his own way just said, you know, I'm here to help you guys win in any way. I thought he definitely is a leader by probably, and you see him talking to the guys in between. You see him talking, you know, after at bats or after he scores. There's a lot of things that he does. Justin Turner, I think, of the everyday players, though, probably is the guy that is the glue to that team. And he just has a great way about him, no matter if a guy's up or down, keeping even keel. And I think Clayton definitely is the leader of the pitching staff, and guys watch the way that he goes about his business. And he does a little more vocal, takes guys under his wing. You see him on the bench every pitch, every inning in between the nights that he's not pitching. And I think he sets a super example for our staff and really for all the pitchers that are in our system, you know, how to do things right. So those are the, you know, really the keys. And you got the young guys. I mean, a Seager doesn't talk much, and Bellinger's not, you know, big vocal guy, but, you know, Turner's the one, whenever we have team meetings or something, he's the one that will step up and say something.
And then before we let you go, you had mentioned when talking about the National League Championship Series about how well the Dodgers and Braves have kind of known each other because they've met now with some regularity. I think casual sports fans, Rick, can't even name a single member of the Tampa Bay Rays. What concerns you most about that team?
Well, watching the series against San Diego, I mean, this is the way they go about their business. I mean, they know they're not a super strong offensive team, but you see them do all the little things like a National League team. They pitch extremely well. Their bullpen is super solid. And they're, you know, they expect their starters to take them into, you know, the fifth, sixth inning, and they have the arms to back it up from there. And but they have a lot of speed. They run the bases extremely well, and their defense is airtight. I mean, a great outfield defense, infield defense, and they just don't beat themselves for the most part. They don't walk people. They make you earn your runs on the other side. And this guy, though, out of the blue, Randy, can't pronounce his last name, the young man that was in the second camp, you know, and then all of a sudden comes up, and then it just had an unbelievable postseason so far. So he's really been their, you know, most of their offense. They do have a few guys that can hit some home runs, but they do all the small things right because that's the way they play the game, and their manager has done a super job handling their pitching staff.
Well, Rick, thank you as always. Like we said before, you've been talking to two lifelong Dodgers fans, so we are certainly hoping the end of the having to hear about 1988 is over, and we wish Clayton a wonderful start tonight, and we wish the Dodgers a lot of success, and we always appreciate you joining us here on Press Row.
Well, pull for the Dodgers. They definitely have the opportunity to do something they haven't done in, you know, a long time. So really hoping for them they can get it. But it's going to be a tough battle. This Tampa Bay definitely is going to come to play. And so hopefully it'll be a great series, but we'll come on top.
Sounds great. Rick, thank you so much for the time.
You bet, guys.
Rick Honeycutt. The former Los Angeles Dodgers pitching coach and just all-around great guy, always has been, always will be, and we certainly, like I said, appreciate him joining us. 648-1051 is the number. We'll revisit the Painter Ready poll question. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.